Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's January 31st, 2017. We've got some great brewers in the house from New Jersey. First time we've done an all-New Jersey show. And I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Thanks for checking us out. Our sponsors are Beer Sessions Radio, supported by Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. I'm rushing it because this is an exciting show. I mean, Jersey's coming of age. There's some great breweries here in the room. Beer Advocates recognize one of them as one of the top breweries in America. Brian Cassie, my good buddy, he's part of Steal This Beer podcast. Brian, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
You're
going to
be our like beer whisperer guide and walk me through this. I got a room of about eight guys that I've never met before, except for Brian Kulbaki from Departed Souls. So let's go around and introduce everybody. So everybody, yeah. say your name, where you're from, and where your brewery is, so that our listeners can get acclimated.
I'm Brian Kulbaki, Departed Souls Brewing Company in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Pete Ruther, Brick City Brewing. We're about 3 miles north in Little Ferry, New Jersey from Giant Stadium.
Joe Del Calzo from Brick City Brewing in Little Ferry, New Jersey.
And I'm Blake Crawford from The Elementary in Hackensack, New Jersey.
I'm Eric Carl from Magnify in Fairfield, New Jersey.
And I'm the other Eric, Eric Ruda, from Fairfield, New Jersey, Magnify Brewing.
All right, so Brian, I know you and Justin were talking about putting together an all-Jersey show. Tell us a little bit of background on who we picked and you know, what we should know about them.
Yeah, well, I just want to kind of focus on some breweries that are kind of easily accessible right outside New York City. So starting with the farthest probably, 45 minutes out, which is Magnify. I met Eric and Eric a couple years ago and, started drinking their beer, put them on my blog. They've just gone a long way. Next to them, we have Blake, who has opened up a brewery in Hackensack, which is obviously a little closer to the city, called The Elementary, doing some great, great beers, and they've come on the map recently for a very, very tasty lager. They're just killing it. And then right next door to them,
like, say hey,
Blake. Hey.
That's
thanks
Blake.
For the shout
and out Eric and
lager.
Eric, say hey.
Hello, hey.
All these voices here.
And then literally right around the corner from them is Brick City, Joe and Pete. They're making some fun, juicy, IPAs, pale ales. They just put out their first sour beer, Cuvée, that is really, really good. Just love it. They're right outside the city, right next to The Elementary. And then we have...
Gotta say hey, bye.
What's going on, everyone?
Joe and Pete.
And then we have...
I'm going to mix up all the names.
And then we have BK. We have BK to my left here, who's got probably the closest brewery to New York City, right over the water in Jersey City, and Jersey City's only brewery. Say hi, bro.
I'm going to poke you really hard if you say anything mean about me. We're that close to each other.
And Jersey City and Brian Kulbaki, Departed Souls. So guys, here we are. Let's go through this. Let's set the standards here. What is New Jersey beer about? You guys are making top class, world class beers. Why don't you start with Eric and Eric at Magnify? Just tell us about your philosophy of making beer, how you guys got into it.
Yeah,
and we'll do a little snapshot of everybody.
Yeah, sounds good. So that's a great segue, because actually how we got started was basically I went to college in Maine. Awesome beer culture up there. Everybody, drinks beer from Maine to Maine. There's a huge local community around beer. And, being from northern New Jersey, there just wasn't that same community, a few years ago. So we wanted to magnify northern New Jersey and really, make the kind of brewery that I was used to in Maine, when I was in college up there, back home, northern New Jersey.
Like, what are some of the breweries that you liked up in Maine?
It's actually really funny. I remember being at Bissell, who's like taken over the East Coast a bit, 3 months in when there was not too many people there on a Saturday. It was pretty funny. Al Gash Super Classic, Foundation's super good. Back when they were at One Industrial, it was just a lot of fun on Saturdays, going there, hanging out. But that's kind of what we were about. And I think what's super cool about the breweries that you guys picked for today, again, super close to New York, but you know, we were all about Northern New Jersey craft beer. And those are the four breweries that you picked today, all like super close.
Tell us something about one of the other breweries. I'm sure you kind of know them well.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of going to gossip about each other.
No, they're actually all a bunch of really nice guys. I mean, as you'd expect in the industry. But I think the super cool thing is, like, we all help each other out. You know, we're in a bind with hops or, you know, some blank cans or whatever whenever we can. Like, it's the type of thing where when we can, we will. It's not like, you know, that's the best thing about the beer industry. It's not really cutthroat at all.
We've definitely all of our breweries have definitely – have stayed up with the image of the brewing industry and while helping each other out, and we continue to do it.
I think I've called all of you looking for something.
Brian, I'm sorry we couldn't help you a couple times.
We've called bad two timing. Of them today, actually.
But we did with Eric and Blake today.
Yep. Yeah.
And you guys keep tabs on each other. You said that you noticed that Brian Kulbaki at the Part of Souls was posting at 6 a.m. that he was up early.
I was like, man, he's going to be tired tonight.
Are you guys trying to outdo each other, you know, competition? And then, since you're talking to her, tell us about the Brick City beer. Because I don't know what it is that I'm drinking, but it's really good.
It's got probably the best label here, Yamir Lager. The flow on it is incredible. No, super crisp, super really good, super bready, but...
pretty bright. Joe and Pete, Brick City. So that's funny. Last night, Tony Ford, the publisher, editor of Ale Street News, was at my place in the East Village. And he brought me, he was really proud that he had a Brick City Ale Street News labeled can.
Yeah, so Tony lives like a half a mile away from our brewery. So we met him pretty quickly when we opened up. And when he came to us and asked us, it was their 25th anniversary, if we wanted to brew a beer with them, you know, for it. And we just were like, well, we're not going to pass that up. Tony's a really good guy. You know, we put their newspapers out in the brewery and everything. So we ended up doing a Wee Heavy with them. And we think it came out pretty good. And they had a nice event there at the brewery. And we're sending it out to a few bars to do a few things with them. So.
And then what is it about cans? I mean, are you guys all doing cans? And is there a canner that's coming by and working with you?
I would like to say that nobody in this room cans with me.
Brian, plug it, Brian. Brian, what company do you work for?
I work for Ironheart Cannon.
Wonderful company.
If you can think about it, on the East Coast, we probably can it.
I mean, I can.
Except the three guys in this room. Three brewers in this room.
So we did start with Ironheart. We did. But we've since moved on and bought our own line. But I think every guy here has their own line, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's proven that if you put a beer in a can, it just tastes better.
Let's get Brian from
a different canning company.
The Part of Souls. He's dying to say something.
I have nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not that important.
Not even about the cans.
We've already covered. I'm too tired to really. But
did you guys amp up quickly to having? I mean, you have a canning line at Magnify. Thanks for wearing the logo, so I can read your name. But this guy, Elementary Blake. Yeah. Do you have a canning line, too?
We do, yeah. We picked up a line from American Beer Equipment, which is our favorite equipment vendor based out of Omaha. So we have a good relationship with them, and we surveyed around and looked like a pretty good line, so we picked it up. We fired it up in October of last year for the first time. And you say, you know, what's the magic thing about cans? As our sales guy tells us, cans are a great way to make beer disappear. It's like you put beer in a can, and it's a one-way trip wherever it's going. You don't have to worry about getting a keg back to make more beer, and people travel with it. It's a great package for the consumer.
So let's talk about cans, because not too long ago it was all about draft beer. People were doing different bottles. Our friends at Pretty Things, people were doing 22-ouncers, and things just changed quickly. You know, when did you guys all decide to go into canning? As like it's probably is that the best part of your business?
Looking at profit and loss sheets. Literally, like it's really good for business.
It is.
I think we're in a bit of a unique position in this particular answer, because we have we brew gluten free beer as well as traditional beer. We only have two of them. We've brewed about 30 non gluten free beers in our first year, but we knew, especially going into the gluten-free market, we had to be in cans right away. Especially trying to convince a bar or restaurant to put a gluten-free beer on is particularly difficult. And again, our proximity in New York City being, you know, we're about three blocks from the Grove Street PATH station. We want to get that gluten-free beer in the city as well. And the best way to do that is in cans.
So what are you guys doing? Are you selling cans out of your brewery? Are you distributing it to stores?
We do a bit of both. We do a ton of retail sales inside the brewery. And then, you know, if we do a release and there's some cases left over, we have a dozen or so accounts that we'll send out some some cans to get into liquor stores.
Yeah. And Blake, you're a really interesting guy. You have some kind of – tell us about your background.
Our brewery is very interesting. So I'm a chemical engineer, and my first couple of jobs out of grad school were as an engineer for a brewery. So very familiar with brew houses, brew house design, brew house operations. The other owner, Michael, is a PhD molecular biologist from NYU. So we have a very capable in-house lab. So at the elementary in Hackensack, everything we do on site. We do all of our own yeast propagation, all of our own quality control, all of our own analytics. Everything's done on site.
So. Brick City can attest and say that we enjoy having their lab right next door because they bring their equipment over to test it out on us.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to have. You know, we invested a lot in our lab facilities to try to create the most consistent beer we possibly could, and we're happy to extend that capability out to our local breweries.
That's great. So you guys magnify. So, you know, you guys were part of a big Beer Advocate article about some of the best breweries, and I know that through Union Beer you're going to be part of our event on March 1st. On New York City Brewer's Choice. So what have you guys done to set yourself apart? Because you're, like, being mentioned on a national stage.
Yeah, so when we opened, we were one of the best new breweries in the country. We were one of the best new breweries in the country. Their January edition every year, they name the best new breweries in the country.
Class of 2015.
Yeah, so that was super cool. And then we actually were going up on Friday to EBF in Boston, which is super cool also.
Beer Fest.
But I got to give a lot of credit to that to our head brewer Eric Carl. So
Eric with ERICH.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
So you've got a good backstory. I mean, like, a lot of you all have, like, worked in breweries, but just tell us where you've worked.
Yeah, so
you're up there. You're one of the top brewers.
My career has been I've been kind of fortunate that I got to work in a lot of kind of contract breweries. So I started out in Greenpoint Beer Works, which unfortunately is no more. But where we brewed Kelso beer.
Heartland and Kelso.
Harlow and all. And I got to work with kind of all the guys that now end up.
But there's still Greenpoint Beer and Ales in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Separate brewery.
Guys. Yeah.
Don't
sorry worry. For the confusion.
Yeah.
When I worked there, I worked with Sam and Matt, who now own Other Half, and then all the guys that Sam hired to work at Other Half. So I got to work and learn from guys that really, really know what they're doing. Just getting to brew, we were doing like 25, 30 different IPAs and just brewing so many different recipes really get you kind of dialed in on different ways to do the same style of beer. From there, I moved to California and I was working out at Almanac, which does some really killer sour beer.
Nice, man, yeah.
And then after that, I was working at Speakeasy in San Francisco proper and then moved back to head up Magnify. So. Really got to brew
so
a
Eric,
lot of
the other
beer.
Eric, so how did you find your brewer?
I wish I could say that we knew each other for a really long time, but so he's from Philly, and we met on a pro brewer, and he basically was like, yeah, I'm looking to come back east. I'm like, it's not quite Philly, but it's a lot closer than San Fran, so it worked out really well. And
so you guys swiped right for each other online?
We did, yeah, on Tinder for brewers.
Did you like or super like each other?
Super like. No, but the best part with working
that,
with him,
is that the real Jersey character? Everybody swipes right?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Cast a wide net. The best part about working with him, though, honestly, is we come up with a ton of ideas. A lot of them are terrible. A lot of them are pretty weird and interesting, but he's absolutely fearless with what he wants or what we can make, and he's got a lot of experience, but, you know, he's cool.
So this guy, Eric's fun, because the first thing he said to me out, and we were waiting at the Barbers, he says, what are the talking points? So I guess we're getting to him. Yeah, quick again, what's the beer we're drinking? This is amazing.
So this is actually coming out in a can tomorrow.
It's funky. It's like hoppy, it's like grass and weed and
super dank. So this is this is an Imperial IPA, 9.5% that we brewed in collaboration with Finback for Extreme Beer Fest. So it's called Smell You Later. Our boys at Finback love to say that.
Yeah.
So
I think right now if you go to your Instagram, what's your Instagram?
Magnify Brewing.
Yeah, I think I saw a photo of that today.
So we're canning that up tomorrow, and then we got it released with two other beers that we're bringing to EBF in cans tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
And everybody, like, be really clear about the beers that we're tasting, because we have our buddies posting it on. Ethan is posting it for Untappd too. So
yes.
Hey, Brian, one more thing, because we're taking a break in a minute. But you know, thanks for bringing these guys together with Justin.
No, you're welcome.
You know, what is it about Bricks that, I mean, that was like a clean, really great clean beer that we had.
Oh, the Pilsner. That's actually my first time having it. I saw the photo go up online last week when I was in North Carolina and had a bit of FOMO because I like lagers, and it is a very fun-looking label. Hope the hockey player doesn't sue you.
we're actually sending him beer down tomorrow.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So he's with it. He should do a signing.
One thing I like about this is that we're getting a chance to – I didn't have to travel today. We're here in Heritage Radio Network Studios, Roberta's in Bushwick. Going to meet these guys from North Jersey. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo! Woo!
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com. I got a
discount card! Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. So over 30 shows, farm shows, cheese shows. But this is Beer Sessions Radio, and we have the best North Jersey brewers here. So Brian Cass from Steelers Beer and other stuff, blogger, photographer, canner. You're a cool guy, man.
I like to think so.
I first met you when I was once I was on with Justin and Augie on Steal This Beer.
Yeah. You came on our show last year. You were a gracious host.
You guys have like a mobile, forget mobile canning unit. You have a mobile recording unit that's bigger than my house.
Yes. We call it the B-Rizzle Mobile Studios, not by my choice. That'd be Augie's coining.
And
but
it came out to New York City Brewer's Choice, which is going to be March 1st in downtown Brooklyn this year, newyorkcitybrewerschoice.com. I'm always proud to put that event on, and that helps support the show.
It's a great event. It's a great event to come out and drink local beer, and it's nice you're inviting new people. Like, you know, Magnify's going to be there.
You know, we can work closely with, like, Matt Lefkowitz at Union, but you brought these guys together. So, again, we tried the Brick City beer, the Pilsner. That's pretty awesome, right?
Yes.
So this is something we can go out to your tasting room and... what are some of the beers that you usually have on that tasting room?
So we got about...
tell me the town in Jersey, too.
Yeah, so, again, we're located in Little Ferry, which is about 5 miles from Manhattan, and we have about 9 different beers on tap at any given point. We like to mix it up. We throw a lager on every once in a while. We do a lot of IPAs, some porters, imperial stouts, and then we've been barrel-aging sour beers since we opened. We've only released one, but... in the next couple months, you can expect to see a lot more barrel-aged sour ales coming out of our brewery.
Yeah, we don't do any of that kettle sour shit. I think the coolest thing about Brick City, though, is they honestly have the widest variety probably out of everybody here. So on tap, one single time. So they kind of mess with everything, you know.
Yeah, we've been big
thank
fans.
Thank you, Eric. We're actually very proud of that. Like, I mean, seriously, like, we do look at that board. And there's like 4 IPAs up on out of 9. We're pretty upset with that, but we do like Eric mentioned. We do actually really try very hard to have a diverse.
We're here all night. We're going to taste all your beers, but how did you guys get started in brewing? Joe and Pete.
I was stationed in Germany.
I have to look at my notes and remember your names.
I was in the Army. And I was stationed in Germany for 2 years and. So, I mean, I was illegally drinking in the States as well.
I think this is where we all say thank you for your service.
Thank you,
Brian. Really enjoys hearing that, too.
Very humble. while over there, I just realized that there was more to beer than actually just getting drunk. And when I came back, I got stationed in Kansas when I got back to the States. And Boulevard Brewing, I had a double wide IPA by them and basically changed my life. Like, I had no idea there was, like...
Boulevard Brewing?
Yeah, Boulevard Brewing's double-wide IPA. But I had no idea that, like, the United States was just being overrun with craft beer. And that's, like, in 2009 or 8. maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, since then I haven't stopped drinking craft beer.
Yeah.
And he literally has not stopped drinking since 2009.
You can tell by his breasts, too.
Our hops, what's the female hormone? Estrogen. Hops estrogen. Watch out, boys.
Hey, yo, Blake. Hey, yo, whoa, hey.
So we're drinking your beer. Tell us what it is, because this is great, too.
So this is a beer called A-Game. It's our flagship IPA. It's a straight-up classic.
Elementary A-Game.
Elementary A-Game. It's a straight-up classic from Hackensack.
Hackensack.
There you go. It's a straight-up classic American IPA. Centennial and Citra are the hops over the top of it. You know, at our brewery in Hackensack, Hackensack's a very commuter culture town, so it's a lot of people that are in and out of Manhattan on the train lines. We've got a train stop that's, you know, a couple hundred yards from the front door of the brewery. So what we normally brew are beers that are very approachable and very drinkable because we have a ton of people who are stopping by on the way home from work or they're stopping by earlier on their weekend. So it's very important for us to have a wide variety of beers that are sort of more modest in ABV that people can drink with their friends and family at barbecues and that sort of thing. So A-Game's representative of that, 6.5% alcohol. Another beer we have on the table is our Hackensack Lager, which is an unstoppable juggernaut of a thing that we just cannot, for whatever reason, make enough of.
If you like shotgunning beer.
It's totally shotgunnable.
So you're American Pale Ale and your lager,
yep.
Are they on tap at the brewery?
Oh, absolutely.
In cans, too.
Yep, and in cans in retail throughout northern New Jersey. We haven't moved into New York at all yet from a retail perspective. But at the tap room, we always have 8 beers on tap. There are 4 permanent residents. There's a residence. There's a Key Lime Goza, this IPA, the Hackensack Lager, and a dark English mild called Mr. Stevens, which is
ridiculously popular.
They are registered permanent residents.
Get them through the airport.
Can I just tell you, we have a contest open right now. We have a beer that's a porter, and the porter has never had a name. And so we're having a contest to name the porter right now in the brewery. So if anybody has an interesting name for a porter, speaking
registered
of
permanent resident.
Yeah. So someone entered the name The D Porter the other day, which I thought was kind of funny. It was very much of the time, probably too early, but very much of the time. And then we have 4 beers that constantly rotate. So right now there's a porter, there's a wit beer, there's another American pale ale using a really cool hop called Eureka that's brand new to us, and a session IPA over there as well.
That's when they struck gold because the immigrants came to America and the streets were paved with gold, right?
Yes.
Eureka.
Indeed, Eureka.
So let's talk about Jersey history. So beer history, you know, did anything ever happen in New Jersey before Michael Caine and Augie Carton started breweries?
Not for a very long time.
I've been to Cape May Brewing. I like them.
I mean, it's ironic that we all brought cans here because the first canned beer actually came from New Jersey.
I think there's a carton can floating around somewhere here.
But let's go back. So I was talking to Pete earlier.
Yeah. Augie started us all.
Colonial era, what was going on in Jersey? Were there breweries?
A lot of people don't realize that Newark used to be one of the biggest brewing meccas in the United States, rivaled Milwaukee. And I mean, after Prohibition, all that stuff kind of died off. And we have a big-ass poster on our wall that shows about – sorry about the curse – 80 – you know, I think it's upwards of 50 or 60 breweries just in the city of Newark alone before Prohibition. And that's kind of the reason that we named ourselves Brick City, partly because of the brewing history that was there and also because it was the name that sucked the least when we were trying to figure out the name.
That literally is it. It was like the 11th hour paperwork needs to go in. Which one do we hate the least?
And Brian, you're in Jersey City. You're a pioneer. You're close to New York City. You know, why Jersey City? I mean, I know there's like a big, you know, Anheuser-Busch brewery in Newark, right?
Yeah.
New Jersey. So there is brewing in New Jersey.
Absolutely, yeah. We're actually the one of only 2 functioning breweries in all of Hudson County. Though back in the day,
Elementary's going to pop his lager now, too, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Back in the day, there were several breweries in Jersey City, West Bergen, West Union, Hoboken, and that never really developed afterwards just because at this point in time, land is so expensive, rent is so expensive. It's going to be hard to move into that territory. We just happened to get super lucky. We found an old building, the only national historical landmark in downtown Jersey City, happens to be 2 blocks from the Grove Street PATH station, and it's historically designated for food and beverage manufacturing, so we were able to sort of scoot right in under the radar and get away with it.
And Brian, I've known you for a few years. I know you were active as a home brewer first. How did you get started?
This is sort of a return to this studio for me, because this was sort of the beginning of it all for me. I was on another podcast here right after winning third place best in show in homebrew alley number 7.
Probably Foment.
You pretend like you didn't remember Chris that.
Mary's, yeah. Foment about it with Chris Kuzme and Mary Mazette. So that was our gluten-free IPA came in third place in Homebrew Alley that year. Right after I graduated the American Brewers Guild Brewing School, I knew all along that I wanted to do gluten-free beer. I knew to do gluten-free beer, I had to start my own brewery. I couldn't go work for somebody else because nobody is as crazy as I am or crazy enough to let me brew gluten-free beer on their system. So we knew we had to do it. All by myself at the very beginning.
I know there's listeners that want me to ask more, but I don't want to ask more about gluten-free beer.
That's fine. We could skip it because we do 30-plus non-gluten-free beers. Bouncing around this table, we have our coffee stout that we brew in collaboration with a local coffee roastery. Kind of tastes like a...
Let's pour that. And Blake, just say on air what beer you just poured, your lager.
That is the Hackensack Lager.
The Elementary.
The Elementary Hackensack Lager. It's a 5.5% Munich Helles. We call it our shotgun beer. We do it in 12-ounce cans. We're not ashamed if you just want to shotgun one or drink
I've
it
shotgunned
fast.
One over there.
Yeah, they've done
what
it.
What is a shotgun?
Times.
If you shoot,
you put a hole in the bottom of the can, and Pete can demonstrate. But you take a key.
He can demonstrate.
I got drive.
You put a hole in the bottom of the can, and you hold the hole up to your mouth, and then when you crack the top on the can,
and that's the new immigration test.
That's absolutely.
If you don't know how to shotgun a beer, you don't get into America.
I'll tell you. Speaking of just
that's a solid test. Yeah, that's a pretty good test.
While Brian was speaking. I used to live a couple blocks away from where Brian has his brewery, and I can honestly tell you if he was there when I lived in Jersey City a decade ago, I probably wouldn't have opened up my own brewery. The guy's doing some amazing beers, and he's awesome to be in that space.
And I just want to return the favor because my favorite part about the Elementary is that you hired Aaron as your sales guy. And we've all dealt with Aaron in previous lives.
Yes,
and
Aaron
so it's
is
just so great to be able to talk
if
about
Aaron. If Aaron's listening, we'd all just like to know how much we like Aaron.
Aaron who, guys?
Aaron is the Elementary sales guy.
And what's his last name?
Aaron Hordich is our sales director.
And he's from New Jersey?
Yeah, he's from New Jersey. He's from Hasbrook Heights. He's got we'll call it some...
Although we don't actually accept the fact that he's from Hasbrook Heights.
No, he is from Hasbrook Heights.
So you guys do have regional.
We have inside.
You have regional differences.
Yeah. Oh, they're regional, city to city differences. They're huge. Like how they pronounce food items in Hasbrook Heights is completely different from any place else. But mozzarella, like mutz, it's mots. It's like I don't understand what the discussion is. I don't understand what all that.
So wait.
About.
So Pete, earlier on, Pete from Brick City, you said that I tried to ask you about. New Jersey beer history. And you said in the Revolutionary War era, there was a brewery in Fort Lee.
Yeah, there was a brewery. It was Fort Lee, and they were technically the first brewery ever in Bergen County. They never opened up. They've never sold beer. They never made beer. Just coincidentally, during the process of opening
it was
up this brewery.
1770s,
1780s. Yeah, we have so many historians actually, like through the Elementary and Brick City, I guess just because of our relation with like
Newbridge Landing.
Yeah, I mean we have a lot of have a lot of historian like professional historians come into the brewery.
We don't have any of that.
And so magnify
a single one.
We have guys with muskets.
Magnifies
coming in our brewery.
Oh, yeah. Justin Beer Advocate. That's it.
Yeah.
History starts in 2015, right?
Yeah. Okay. As far as I know, historians for brewers.
So and it's a shame because actually a lot of the historians actually know this guy's name because the significance with it is that he started this brewery. He was about to open up. Revolution kicked off. He was a loyalist, and he's one of the very few people, I think maybe a dozen people, that the U.S. government, after winning the Revolution, was like, get
so
out.
So this is 1783 or something.
Yeah.
There was actually
a little bit before
his history, 83. His dates.
Yeah, but they literally, he's one of the very few people that were like.
We're not historians.
Yeah, we're clearly not historians. But they literally like, give me your
Some
land,
of your ancestors signed the Declaration of Independence.
Not mine.
Well, no.
Teddy. There's a lot of history in America.
Teddy, yeah. Teddy
and he didn't sign Declaration either.
But no. Departed Souls, Brian.
But he did important things.
Let's tell us about this beer first. This is a stout.
You're drinking Modern Cup of Soul. It's sort of a 4.9% really light-bodied coffee stout. We collabed with a local coffee roastery called Mod Cup Coffee Roastery. Basically, I drink my coffee black. As you saw earlier today, I am up very, very early in the morning and tend to be up very, very late. So I like to transition a nice black coffee in the morning, a beer that tastes like a black coffee in the evening.
All right. Well, I think I got the signal. So this segment's about to end shortly. And we'll be back in a few minutes talking more about Jersey Beer on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo! Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on that. It's a crazy room in here, guys. Everybody's talking. Small talk. You guys, it's Joe, Pete. Everybody say their name quick. Quick, do your name.
Joe from Brick City.
Brian. Quick names. Quick.
Pete. Blake from Brick City.
Eric Magnify.
Last one out. No, this is a crazy
hey,
North Jersey brewery. I love those sound effects. Thank you, David.
Justin, we need sound effects like this for Steal This Beer, Make It Happen.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite beer from
let's make it a beer tasting panel now. So we kind of know each other. I think everyone we've tasted beers from each of you.
She said she tore. We try to keep that quiet. That's bullshit.
Excuse me, Eric. Keep it quiet on the microphone. So now we. So Blake.
Yes.
You're like a chemical engineer.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of real talent in this room.
Yes.
Do you think that a brewer has to have like science training to really be a good brewer?
I wouldn't say science training. Like in our case, there's myself and Michael, the two owners. He's the actual scientist. I'm the engineer. It certainly helps in the operation of the brewery. I don't think it's necessary to make delicious beer. Like we have, two full-time brewers that we employ. They're very talented brewers. They operate on a system that that we designed according to quality parameters that Michael controls, and it's one big happy family. I don't think it's really required though. It's just how we operate as a brewery because it's in our nature.
Yeah, and then Eric with an H, you have brewed around. You were on the West Coast. You know give us an example of a moment you really learned like, wow, this is what it takes to be a brewer.
When something goes very wrong. That's usually when you kind of figure it out.
So every day.
Running and working in Magnify, it's been, something will go wrong and the other Eric who will go, like, he'll freak out. Like, I can't believe, we're screwed. I'm like, we're not screwed. I've done this. This thing has gone wrong for me before. Like, we'll figure it out.
Is this your first startup, Eric?
I don't freak out, by the way.
The actual beer we're tasting now, you freaked out on and they fixed it or what? No.
No, this one I was, cool as a cucumber on this guy.
So tell us about the beer we're drinking now.
So the beer we're drinking now is called Peak Oil. It's a beer that we kind of gave ourselves a challenge to make an extremely hoppy beer with not just pelletized hops, which is the main type of hops that people put in, the processed hops that people put into beer. So we wanted to kind of make a hoppy beer with... distilled hop oil, which is it goes through a process and kind of just takes the pure essence of the stinky greatness of hops out into liquid form, and then we use this other product that everyone's kind of getting on this train nowadays called lupulin powder, which is another really refined hop product.
Is that a secret?
That's killer.
Who's using lupulin powder?
We just bought our first packages, but we use hop oil, to be honest. Yeah.
I put it in a salt shaker and put it on my food. It's like it's great. So we kind of gave ourselves the challenge to make a super sticky, greasy, juicy, hoppy beer that smells like gasoline and grapefruit.
I have a chef friend who makes this great porchetta, and she swears by fennel pollen. Also, somebody can put in your shaker.
We did we actually did a firkin of our saison that we have a fooder fermented saison that we do with Brett and a bunch of different fun little bugs in there. But we did a firkin of that with strawberries and fennel pollen. That
okay. I'm gonna next question. So like, I love that everyone's putting really great beers into cans, and that's a great way to get beer, especially if you're not, you know, at a bar. But I want to go to your brewery. Is there something that you're doing serving on premise, like in a cask or some other format that's unique and a reason for me to go to your brewery, other than just buying cans? So you can go with it, Eric.
Yeah, well, for us,
Magnify.
We have 3-year-round beers that we pretty much have all the time. But then we do can releases basically every 2 weeks. So pretty much on a 2-week cycle, we're going to have new beers on tap. We also do a draft one-off roughly every 4 to 6 weeks. So, I mean, if you come 1 week and you come, you know, a week or two later, you're going to get at least, you know, one or two new beers. So it's
well, you don't have cool. Like you're not making a special cask with fennel pollen or
we do special firkins every once in a while. Yeah, we'll do that.
That's something. And then Blake too. So is there anything that unique about your tap room? Why I should travel there instead of just buying your cans in a bar?
Yeah. So before we leave Magnify real fast, I just want to say I visited their tap room for the first time in a couple weeks or in a couple months actually a week ago and. Some of the best beers that I have at Magnify are not the ones they put in cans. The beers they put in cans are phenomenal. But I had Serge Saison for the first time in a while. The beer is absolutely first rate. And you never see that
in a can. It was on tap at the brewery.
Yeah, on tap at the tap.
Yeah, that's one of Brick City's favorite Saisons as well.
Yeah.
I know that everyone talks about cans. I'm a big fan of getting really good fresh beer on tap at a good bar or at the brewery. So.
Yeah.
You guys too, at Brick City.
We don't necessarily do like a – I mean, we're just – We have the smallest system here, basically. We have 5-barrel fermenters. We also have 10-barrel fermenters, but I don't – right? Nobody here does that.
But maybe so we do a Beer Sessions Radio can like you did Ale Street News can.
Exactly. It gives us more leeway like with the 5-barrel system. I mean, we can mess around with lagers and nails and stuff and not necessarily have to –
worry about
take a $5,000 hit or anything. Yeah.
So Ale Street News, our buddy Tony Ford, he was so proud of that, the Brick City Ale Street News can. How did you guys come up with that beer?
Well, actually, it was Tony. We kind of gave him. We were like, all right, well, what kind of style of beer did you want to brew? And Tony, I mean, he likes IPAs, but he's an old school '90s, '80s.
He's an Englishman.
Yeah, and he's an Englishman. He likes his malt forward beers, so he really wanted to do a wee heavy Scotch ale. And it's actually not a beer that we've actually had any experience of brewing. So we kind of just like went back, did some reading. Historical reading on the style, and then me and Pete sat down. We picked out flavors that we thought might work, and picked out ingredients that we thought would benefit it. And when we came in that day,
if you read history, what were things that stood out about a wee heavy?
No hops, almost. There's like almost no hops in the beer. It's very, it's more
one
on the sweet side.
You get one pellet.
Yeah, it's like the cheapest beer to make.
And Brian Kulbach is Departed Souls. I'm going to your tasting room. What's special?
I think these guys at Brick City, they mentioned they have the smallest system at the 5-barrel system. We do. We brew 7 barrels at a time. We double batch everything, or pretty much everything, into 15-barrel fermenters. And you mentioned the cans before, and we kind of learned the hard way that we got a little aggressive with our cans and put out a beer that wasn't so hot. And we've kind of dialed it back a little bit and brought out the old homebrew tippy system. And so we do at least once a month, we call it the Sin Series, S-I-N-S series. Sorry, I'm not sorry in case the beer tastes like crap. And it's basically our anti-untapped series because everyone is so eager to go online and lambast a beer they dislike and blow up a beer that they love. And this is just our reminder that beer is supposed to be fun. So every month, sometimes 2 or 3 times a month, we'll brew 10 gallons of something, we'll split it up, we'll ferment it with 2 different yeasts, or we'll give it 2 different hop treatments. We'll do something unique about it, and that beer will always only be available in the tasting room. It's not something that will ever get distributed out.
We do something very similar at the elementary. We call it the OTIG, the On Till It's Gone series.
Exactly.
And it's on till it's you drink it or we dump it, whichever is first, right? It really depends on how the crowd is feeling on that day.
I don't dump it. I bring it home. Keep the kegerator
at home.
That's
a good question. Actually, that's a good starting point. So, do you guys feel that because you have a tasting room, you can experiment more?
Oh, yeah.
You get a chance to try out different styles?
Oh, 100%. It's like we do beers. Like we just did a beer that's a Dusseldorf alt beer we introduced called Cardigan with a K. It's a little 90s alt reference Kurt Cobain thing that we did. You know, beers like that, they do really well in the tasting room. They don't sell worth a damn, like, to bars and restaurants because they're not really sure how to deal with that.
Which is so weird because we're doing Constantine with a K.
But I can't because he was cool.
You can't? Yeah.
I can't
it's
make
all
a joke
about
the about
cardigan.
Kurt.
Just do it. So just do it. It's all about
he's
the
dead.
Cardigan.
He's dead. Sorry, guys. He's dead.
So we had this alt beer.
He's been dead
like,
for like,
you know,
what, 26 years?
Yeah, you can laugh at that now. We actually had a pretty horrific drawing on one of our dry erase boards.
I get it.
Which is removed.
That's a little much.
Yeah,
it's bad.
But when you look at the crazy. Like the playlist from typical brewers, like, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, 90s alt. So
Fish and Grateful Dead, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Is that 90s alt?
No.
Is that why I should go? So Brian Cass, so is it Cass or Cassie?
Cass.
Okay, Cass.
Cass.
So you're a cool guy. You're doing a lot of things. You're taking photos today.
Yeah, because I'm going to put you on my beer blog. Am I allowed a shameless plug here? Idrinkgoodbeer.com.
So
I just
pictures.
Did. Yeah, so I'm taking pictures today because I've taken pictures of everybody's brewery in here, pictures of packaging and stuff like that. These guys always have some killer artwork, just great facilities. I like to show off
guys,
the places and everything.
Pour the last beer, and then this big question is, give us – I want the ultimate North Jersey brewery tour because I'm going this weekend. Should I start in Jersey City? Should I start at Port Authority? I'm coming to New York City. I'm visiting New York because I'm from England and Michigan, and I love, you know, New York City beer.
If you're coming from New York, I would start out at Magnify and make your way back towards the city.
How do I get to Magnify?
I don't know, Eric. How the hell do you get
so
to Magnify?
It's a straight shot from the GW Bridge if you're driving.
Yeah, if you're driving.
There's also
Mass Transit.
Yeah, so if you take a bus, you can take a bus to the New Jersey Transit bus to the Willowbrook Mall. And we're literally 5 minutes away from that. So
also, they shot Pete and Pete at the Willowbrook Mall, so you could do a tour of that as a landmark thing.
There you go.
Get out of here. I didn't know that.
But yeah, it's honestly not that far. So I would agree with that. Probably start there and then.
But yeah, Jimmy, start at Magnify. Like drive out to Magnify in Fairfield. You know, get some beers there. Maybe go have a bite to
you
eat
guys
at
are just
Clover Leaf.
You're just figuring this. You don't have a North Jersey beer tour, do you?
No, because everything's too far spread apart. Should.
So what if I go to Jersey City? I'm at Barcade, and then I go over to Departed Souls. Brian, how can I get to these other guys? And I can't be driving because I'm drinking.
Uber. Tough question. Yeah. Uber is pretty easy from us. You can easily get to New Jersey Beer Company. That's about a $7 Uber. From there, I would say it's probably like a $10 Uber to Elementary.
It's about
and
a
then you can
$5
walk
Uber from Elementary to Bricks.
To Bricks. Yeah. And then maybe like a $15, $20.
We're probably 20 minutes from Elementary.
Yeah, so 15.
Maybe
so you're talking only about $50 in Ubers, and it's well worth it at every stop for
or
the beers.
Or if you just want to skip Brian altogether, the
how about, you just come to me and then you go to like Barcade?
It's true. You do have the beers there.
You taste all of our beers. Yeah, stay in Jersey City.
I'm coming from Sweden. I'm in New York City. I went from, you know, I was in Portland, Maine, swung down through Hill and Farm Center in Vermont. Yeah. Now I'm in New York City. I want to go check out the new North Jersey breweries.
So the 167 bus line out of Port Authority will get you to us and very near Bricks.
Yeah, right.
It won't get you to Brian, unfortunately. That's a different bus line. But
if you're in Times Square, you could get on the Grove Street Path Station and end up at my doorstep.
So obviously you guys need to put together a New Jersey beer tour because I'm already confused. But last beer that we're drinking, Pete, what did you just pour me?
That is Deuces, actually. That's Deuces New England Style Double IPA from Departed Souls in
nice,
Jersey
man.
City.
Yeah.
Good stuff. 7.4% Azaka hops, a bunch of weird stuff in there. Just trying to have
I want to thank you guys for joining me. Let's just one more time. Let's start with these guys. Say your names, your brewery, and what town you're in New Jersey.
Eric from Magnify Brewing in Fairfield.
Eric Carl from Magnify Brewing in Fairfield.
Blake from the Elementary in Hackensack.
Joe from Brick City Brewing in Little Ferry.
Pete from Brick City Brewing in Little Ferry.
Brian from Departed Souls at the Grove Street Pass Station in Jersey City.
And Brian Cass from I Drink Good Beer. I drink at all the breweries listed here.
And a big shout out. Keep following us. You know, NYCBrewersChoice.com. It's our annual event. It supports the show and Heritage Brewing Network. We're here March 1st in downtown Brooklyn. I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. You just said their names. I'll say them again. I guess it's Brian, Blake, Eric, Pete, Joe, and Brian, maybe someone else. But thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Beer Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy. Thanks for bringing all these guys.
Thanks, Justin.
Engineer David Tashore.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks
for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Assassins Radio. All right. Woo!
Cheers. Cheers.
All right, people.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.